In 1900, over half the U.S. population were farmers. Since the Green Revolution following World War II enabled industrial agriculture, the number of farms and farmers has shrunk dramatically. Today, only about 2% of the population works in farming, but on much larger farms. In many ways, rural America is now similar to third world nations that produce coffee, bananas, cotton, or other commodities solely for export. Since World War II, American agriculture has shifted from family farming with the surplus going to city folk to commodity farming exclusively for export from the farm area. The effect on third world people is well documented. The picture is similar in rural America, if less well known.
The model that we've been encouraged to adopt and that third world countries have been encouraged to adopt is a cash crop model where all the farms are specialized in one thing, they buy all their inputs, and then they depend on the foreign export market. And that means that every community, no matter where it's located, in Bolivia or somewhere in Africa or here in Oregon, is dependent on importing food from elsewhere.
That was Angela Eckhart of Lostine, Oregon, in Wallowa County. This isolated mountain valley was once almost entirely self-sufficient. It's a good case study for what's happened all across America. 100 years ago, Wallowa had furniture makers, flour mills, dairies, creameries, bakeries, blacksmiths, and even a cigar maker. High-value items like butter, cheese, and eggs that weren't consumed locally were exported to grocers in the larger towns for cash. Now, this valley of 7,500 people and 32,000 cattle has one general machine shop, a Safeway that buys nothing locally, and a couple of small grocers that buy some produce in season. True, the Wallowa Grain Growers Co-op provides feed, fence posts, machine parts, and some general merchandise and clothing, but the lure of big box retailers 75 miles away is hard to resist. So the valley residents now import virtually all food, clothing, and hardware. Grain and meat, sold as commodities, are re-imported into the county at retail, about 10 times the commodity price.
That fact is not lost on anyone around here. If you look back years ago, you know, there's a 100-year-old general store here in town, and you can see the old meat hooks hanging from the ceiling that are now empty, and the old butcher tables that are now empty, and the signs up on the wall advertising the local dairy that's now gone.
Angela is about 30 and sees only the remnants of a once vital rural economy. But Carol Coppin, now 90, took up farming with her husband in 1948 near Joseph. She compares how it was then to today. When you came here in 1948, what sorts of businesses existed in the valley to support the agricultural community?
Well, we had the creamery, the cheese factory, the sales yard. When we first started, it was during the Korean War. And eggs were about, they were almost the same as now. I got a dollar a dozen, and I would ship them 30 dozen at a time in a crate through the Union Pacific Railroad down at Joseph. I'd just take my crates in there and put them on the train, send them to Portland, and the next day I'd get the crate back empty. You can't even sell your eggs now. And there's no grain growers here. There's no, see, they torn down all of the elevators in Joseph, and I guess they have one in Enterprise.
Carol describes what her son Mike now faces.
I'm getting around to saying that Mike is getting less now than what we got for our grain at the time, because we didn't have to pay for hauling.
So the change is that this was primarily a subsistence agriculture area with a small amount of export?
I think that's true. During the Depression, the farmer had something to eat, and he at least had a place to stay. And if he could pay his taxes, he was sitting pretty. And so the ranchers or the farmers were just living there because that was what they could do, and they liked it, and then they made a living, and they had plenty to eat and a home and enjoyed it. But now farmers are a different kind of breed. You have to be a businessman. You have to know your P's and Q's in order to operate, or you better not try it.
World grain prices improved with the Russian crop failures in the 1970s, giving farmers a much-needed boost.
really the best times were somewhere in the 70s, where things kind of leveled off a little bit.
But in the Reagan years, the message from the Department of Agriculture was, get big or get out. Federal policy has succeeded in implementing the Green Revolution and consolidating virtually all aspects of our food source. In doing so, many crop prices have been driven below the cost of production. Arguably, the result of this consolidation has not been good. Farmers now get about 8 cents of every consumer dollar. Rural poverty is now a fact of life in America. Food safety under the industrial model has become a problem as reports about E. coli in produce or salmonella in peanut butter appear almost weekly. The list goes on. Food security and sustainability groups advocate a return to a small farm model with a decentralized distribution system. That involves rebuilding the small farm infrastructure of days gone by. That's a tall order. For KBCS, this is Tom Allen.